Hawser cleared his throat and leaned forward in his seat, not looking at Craiglin.
"She's dead now, anyway," Hawser said, looking up.
"Hmm?"
Craiglin said absently, looking at the changer.
"The culture woman," Hawser said.
"She's dead."
"Oh, yes."
Craiglin nodded, then cleared his throat and said,
"So, what do you want to do now? I'm sort of expecting you to come along on this temple caper. I think you owe us that for the ride."
"Oh, yeah, don't worry," Hawser said.
"Good. After that, we'll see. If you shape up, you can stay. Otherwise, we'll drop you off somewhere you want, within reason, like they say.
This operation should be no problem. Easy in, easy out."
Craiglin made a dipping, flying motion with his flattened hand as though it was the model of the cat which hung somewhere over Hawser's head.
"Then we go to Vavach."
He took another gulp from the fumes in the sniff flask.
"Don't suppose you play damage, hmm?"
He brought the flask down, and Hawser looked into the predatory eyes through the thin mist rising from the flask's neck. He shook his head.
"Not one of my vices. Never really got the chance to learn." "Yeah, I guess not. It's the only game,"
Craiglin nodded, "apart from this."
He smiled and glanced about, obviously meaning the ship, the people in it, and their occupation.
"Well," Craiglin said, sitting up, "I think I've already said welcome aboard, but you are welcome."
He leaned forward and tapped Hawser on the shoulder.
"So long as you realise who's boss, huh?"
He smiled widely.
"It's your ship," Hawser said.
He drank what remained of the flask's contents and put it on a shelf beside a portrait holocube which showed Craiglin standing in his black suit, holding the same laser rifle which was mounted on the wall above.
"I think we'll get on just fine, Hawser. You get to know the others and train up, and we'll knock the shit out of these monks. What you say?"
The man winked at him again.
"You bet,"
Hawser said, standing and smiling. Craiglin opened the door for him.
"And for my next trick," thought Hawser, as soon as he was out of the cabin and walking down to the mess, "my impression of Captain Craiglin."
During the next few days, he indeed got to know the rest of the crew. He talked to those who wanted to talk, and he observed or carefully overheard things about those who didn't. Yalson was still his only friend, but he got on well enough with his roommate, Wubslin, though the stocky engineer was quiet, and when not eating or working, usually asleep. The Bratsilakins had apparently decided that Hawser probably wasn't against them, but they seemed to be reserving their opinion about whether he was for them until Marduin and the Temple of Light. Doralo was the name of the religious woman who roomed with Yalson. She was plump, fair-skinned and fair-haired, and her huge ears curved down to join onto her cheeks. She spoke in a very high, squeaky voice, which she said was pretty low as far as she was concerned, and her eyes watered a lot. Her movements were fluttery and nervous. The oldest person in the company was Avager, a smallish, weather-beaten man with brown skin and little hair. He could do surprisingly supple things with his legs and arms, like clasp his hands behind his back and bring them over his head without letting go. He shared a cabin with a man named Jandralijeli, a tall, thin, middle-aged Mondladishian who wore the scar marks from his homeworld on his forehead with unrepentant pride and a look of perpetual disdain. He ignored Hawser devoutly, but Yalson said he did this with every new recruit. Jandralijeli spent a lot of time keeping his old but well-maintained suit and laser rifle clean and sparkling. Gao and Ki Alsorifus were the two women who kept themselves so much to themselves and were alleged to do things when alone in their cabin, which seemed to annoy the less tolerant of the company males, that is, most of them. Both women were fairly young and had a rather poor grasp of moraine. Hawser thought maybe that was all that kept them so isolated, but it turned out they were pretty shy anyway. They were of average height, medium build, and sharp-featured in grey skin, with eyes that were pools of black. Hawser thought perhaps it was just as well they didn't look at people straight too often. With those eyes, it could be an unsettling experience. Mip was a fat, sombre man with jet-black skin. He could pilot the ship manually when Craiglin wasn't aboard and the company needed close support on the ground, or he could take over at the shuttle controls. He was supposed to be a good shot, too, with a plasma cannon or rapid projectile rifle,
but he was prone to binges, getting dangerously drunk on a variety of poisonous liquids he procured from the autogalley. Once or twice, Hawser heard him throwing up in the next stall in the Heads. Mip shared a cabin with another drunkard, called Nysin, who was more sociable and sang a lot. He had, or had convinced himself he had, something terrible to forget, and although he drank more steadily and regularly than Mip, sometimes, when he'd had a bit more than usual, he would go very quiet, and then start crying in great, sucking sobs. He was small and wiry, and Hawser wondered where he put all the drink, and where all the tears came from inside his compact, shaved head. Perhaps there was some sort of short circuit between his throat and his tear ducts.